It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hello there, and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Komal Patil Sisodia. She specializes in the treatment of women with osteoporosis. She's an endocrinologist at Hogue Hospital and is very involved in the community in Newport. She'll also have some useful tips on how to keep osteoporosis at bay. Welcome, Dr. Patil.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to join you.
It's our pleasure. Let's get right into it. A working definition of what osteoporosis actually is. Can you help us with that?
Yes, definitely. So osteoporosis, when you go into your doctor's office, they'll usually tell you, oh, it's a decrease in your bone mineral density, these many standard deviations below an average 20-year-old healthy female. But what that really means when you get down to the gist of it is that your bone has been weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And that occurs usually because there is a disruption in the way that it's being formed. Usually in your bone, you have two living cells. One is responsible for building up your bone, and the other one is responsible for chewing it up and remodeling it.
Okay.
So usually these two bones are in balance, but when the balance shifts, you start getting weakened bone. And so when you see a decrease in your actual bone mineral density, which can be seen on a bone density scan, that's when we start worrying about osteoporosis.
Okay. Now, what are some of the early symptoms that might cause a person to think that they might have, say, osteoporosis of the hip?
It can be as simple as hip pain or a fracture that occurs without much trauma to that area. That is mm-hmm. usually one of the things that we start worrying about when people are having hip symptoms. A lot of times osteoporosis, though, is very asymptomatic, and you don't actually feel anything until you have a fracture.
Okay.
So thus, it's very, very important for women to start being monitored around the time that they hit menopause.
That was my next question.
Okay.
When do you start and how often do you get
screened? Usually we say when women start menopause, because the important thing here is that estrogen, which we all have throughout our lives until we hit menopause, and then estrogen starts to go away, it usually keeps that bone breakdown and bone buildup within a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to lose your estrogen, that's when the pendulum shifts towards having more bone breakdown and less bone buildup, and that's when your bone starts to get weakened. So I personally think when women are starting to go into osteoporosis or into menopause, that is a good time to start being monitored, at least to have a baseline DEXA scan to see whether you've developed any osteoporosis or not.
Okay, and there's something called periosteoporosis, correct?
I beg your pardon?
Is there something called periosteoporosis that we should be aware of?
It's more referred to as osteopenia, which
okay.
is the pre-state where it shows that you've decreased some of your bone mineral density, but it's not bad enough yet to call it osteoporosis just yet.
So if you're at that stage, are there ways to help prevent osteoporosis?
There are things that we can do. I really recommend for women starting in their teens and 20s, actually, to be getting enough calcium and vitamin D to help protect their bones, because these two are very important components of maintaining good bone strength.
Mm-hmm.
I usually recommend about 1,500 milligrams of calcium and about 1,000 to 1,200 units of vitamin D daily for a woman starting that young.
Wow.
And that is because your bone mass peaks at about 35. So after 35, it's already starting to decrease, and then by the time you hit menopause around 50, or if you hit it earlier, you start to lose bone a lot faster because you lose your estrogen as well at that point. So I think that's one of the important things that we can do. The other thing that I recommend to my patients is also weight-bearing exercise
mm-hmm.
in order to make sure that your muscles are healthy and you're getting some gravitational pull on your bones, which helps stimulate the remodeling.
Now, when you say weight-bearing, are you talking step class? Are you talking running? Or, I mean, it's not really sitting on the floor and doing yoga stretches.
Actually, yoga and Pilates are very, very good because they strengthen your core and they improve
right.
your balance. So in that sense, those two exercises are very good to help maintain your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say weight-bearing,
mm-hmm.
the yoga can be part of that if it is like a strengthening and a conditioning type of yoga, and I know Pilates does the same thing.
Absolutely.
But I'm also just referring to doing light free weights, using something mm-hmm. between 5 to 10 pounds to do bicep curls or work your arms or Do the free weight machines for your legs and lower body workout as well. Keeping your muscles strong helps protect your bone.
It all works together. Muscles. So a combination of maybe the free weights and the stretching and the yoga and the Pilates would be
a fine way to go. Because core strength, what we're realizing more and more nowadays, is very important as well.
You know, I just got an email question, and it absolutely speaks to what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. So forgive me if it's a small bit of repetition, but West Covina just sent this email question. It says, I was recently diagnosed with periosteosporosis. What else besides increasing my calcium intake can I do to make sure this doesn't advance into full-blown osteoporosis? So you said the calcium, the vitamin D, and the weight-bearing exercises, along with some core strengthening exercises. Anything else?
Absolutely. If you have other modifiable risk factors, such as you're a smoker, stopping smoking is one of the big things that you can do in order to decrease your fracture risk, because smoking will actually help, will actually hasten the loss of your bone mineral density. And so that's one of the things that's potentially modifiable. The other thing is if you are drinking more than is recommended daily, and for women, I believe it's about anything over one drink a day is considered chronic heavy drinking.
Alcoholic drinks.
Exactly, alcoholic drinks. So drinking alcohol, so cutting down on any excess alcohol intake, not making sure you don't exceed one glass a day. The other thing is that any sort of malnutrition, so if you're not getting enough calories in, I know a lot of women nowadays are concerned with their weight and appearance and things like that, but it's also very important to maintain a healthy weight for your height.
Okay.
For women whose BMIs start falling lower and lower, your body mass index, when that gets lower and lower, that also can contribute to you losing bone. So it's very important to also make it a point to have a healthy body image and to maintain what's considered a healthy weight instead of what we see in the magazines nowadays.
Sure. But even so, get those leafy greens in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And some carrots wouldn't hurt either, huh?
Exactly. I'm not saying go all out and have some junk food. I'm saying just eat a healthy, balanced diet with good fats, protein, complex carbohydrates, and making sure you get enough calories in order to maintain a healthy body weight.
Now, you hear a lot about calcium and vitamin D these days and how much they can help. Now, is there ever a danger of taking too much either calcium or vitamin D?
Usually with the calcium, your kidneys have the ability to help you excrete it in your urine. So with the calcium, I don't worry about it too much, unless you have some sort of renal failure. And in that case, you need to be somewhat careful about your calcium intake. Vitamin D is an interesting question. A lot of people nowadays are vitamin D deficient, and they don't even really realize it. And a lot of that has to do with the amount of sunscreen we wear and not going out into the sun, because most vitamin D production occurs in your skin. So a lot of people are vitamin D deficient nowadays instead of being vitamin D toxic. So as long as you have somebody checking your levels and monitoring your therapy, there really shouldn't be too much of a risk of going into becoming toxic from vitamin D, though it has been known to happen. That point, your levels would be very, very high, and you'd have to check with a doctor and maybe cut back on how much you're taking in.
Is the vitamin D out of the bottle significantly different than the vitamin D we get out of the sun?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, it is different. Obviously, what you create in your body is going to be the best for you. Mm-hmm. But the nutritional supplements that we have nowadays are pretty close to mimicking the real thing. So I think that if you're able to supplement with what you can get in the vitamin aisle at the drugstore or at a natural food store, that should be pretty close to what you do make in your body.
Because it seems like a catch-22. You want the sun, but then, of course, your doctor says, oh, no, you got to wear the sunscreen.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting, and I wonder how much of it is actually from the sunscreen itself, because there have been studies that are done in populations such as people who live in Hawaii who get a lot more sun, who may not necessarily wear as much sunscreen, and there's still a very high vitamin D deficiency rate in that population, up to about 60%, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really surprising.
Yeah, and it's interesting because not only does it impact bone health and can it predispose you to getting osteoporosis, it can also cause a significant amount of fatigue and has been linked to other endocrine disorders such as type 1 diabetes and things of that nature. So, I mean, it's just a good idea to maybe get that checked out and make sure you're not heading down that path.
Right. Speaking of heading down the path, I cannot believe our first segment is over, but we want to thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, okay, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're speaking with Dr. Komal Patil-Sisodia about osteoporosis in women and how to avoid it, if at all possible. Coming up, we'll talk about the latest advancements in thyroid disease. For more information on Dr. Patil, you can visit hoaghospital.org, and you can also listen to the podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There's much, much more to come.